item of business to start off. We've had three come to the church for membership, David DeBoer and Ed and Ladessa Yakinen. And so they've given their testimony of accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior and baptism by immersion. So the deacons recommend them for membership. Do we have a motion from the congregation? Oh, okay, Carrie DeBoer and a second. William, all in favor say amen.
Amen.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Welcome to the church. And you guys, I see David DeBoer and Ed and Ledessa. Oh, they're in the back. Okay. Yeah, you can, after church, stand back by the back door, and I'm sure people will greet you on the way out. Thanks.
Good morning, folks.
Roger will be coming home this afternoon.
Okay. Good morning, folks. You can go ahead and find a seat. We do have a few announcements to get through. I am glad you are here this morning. I'm glad you're fellowshipping and talking and all those things. And tonight, we have service at 6 p.m., and we are having a church planter coming and sharing his ministry. He was here in Sunday school. His name's Eric Stewart. He's back there in the back. You can wave your hand, Eric, if anybody looks around. And he taught Sunday school this morning and did a fine job, and we're looking forward to hearing his ministry all about it, the ins and outs tonight. And if you have any questions for him, I'm sure he'll be able to answer those tonight. That's at 6 o'clock. There's things going on this week. Thursday, there's float decorating. If you would like to be a part of that, you can be here at 10. I think they're going to try to do the entire thing that Thursday, and then Friday is the parade. There's some other things coming up. There's a lake activity at Tom and Paula Cavanaugh's house. It's about an hour north of here. And we rescheduled it. Maybe you had it down for 1 week. Well, we had to adjust things a little bit, so it's the 12th. And everybody from the church is welcome to go up there. Just all you have to do is maybe bring a small dish to pass and some chairs to sit around. They don't quite have enough chairs for everybody. And if you go up there, you can get quad rides and boat rides and roller coaster rides and all kinds of stuff. So it's a really fun time. And the youth group students, we go up there a little bit earlier in the morning so that we can get some tubing and they want to try water skiing, stuff like that. And you can see the roof offering is getting very close to where that needs to be. And VBS meeting Thursday, July 10th, and other things like that. So make sure you're checking over those things and looking at the bulletin. And please pray for Luann, the secretary. She's had this change of medication, and it's causing some dizziness and some issues and problems. So pray for her. Maybe you've been praying for Roger Bennett, and he is coming home this afternoon. We had a good conversation with the knee surgeon the morning of the surgery, and he seemed like a neat guy. And so he said, "Bye, Roger. Have at it." And they took care of that, and he's doing well, so keep him in your prayers. And there's others that we've been praying about different issues and problems. Make sure we're praying for each other throughout the week, and we can take care of those things. And I'm sure Pastor Don maybe has some more announcements, and he can have that opportunity in a minute. But if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray. Father God, we are glad that you love us, listen to us. Father, in fact, you don't just tolerate us, you desire us to communicate with you, and you want us to read your word, and you want to be close to us. And Father, I'm thankful that you're not just some God that got the earth spinning and turned your back, but that you're actively involved in our lives and actively involved in our church. Father, we're thankful for the progress that Rogers had, and we just ask that as he continues to go through rehab and recover, that he will stay on that good path. Father, we're just thankful for the progress Joanne is having. And Lord, we also lift up Luann and these complications she's been having. And Lord, I know she doesn't want to feel this way. So we would just ask that your spirit would work, you would move, and that there would be a miraculous change, and that the symptoms she's been having would just go away. And Father, we would thank you and praise you for that. Lord, there's others here at church that we know are struggling with different issues and problems, and you know the ins and outs of all of those. We would ask that you would guide their hearts and give them strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Our vacation, I can't see with these things, so I'm going to take them off there. Our vacation Bible school this year is called International Spy Academy. It's scheduled for the 21st through the 25th of July. It's a little over a month, a little less than a month from now. And we're kicking it off a bit by having a float in the July 4th parade here, which is this Friday. Now, Pastor mentioned a little bit about it already. We have several projects and things that we're trying to get done before Thursday for the float. Thursday we need to assemble the float, and we're opening that to everybody who wants to come or is interested in coming, whether it's construction type work or putting bunting up or just criticizing other people's work, whatever. You're welcome to come and participate at that. We'll be starting at 10 o'clock on that. But there are other projects, and I have a couple extra moments this morning, so I'm going to take them to explain a little bit about it. If we're looking at our float, that's the big red trailer you saw out there. And this is the front part of it, the tongue. Across the front of it, we're going to have the international flags. So I need to have one of the projects is to take the flags that we have and put them on those posts so that we can mount them to the front of the float. We can't set everything up ahead of time because some of the neighborhood kids like to rearrange things for us if we leave them available, and I'd rather not. Plus, you never know what the weather's going to do. Behind the front row of flags, we've got that giant metal ring out there you saw, 6-foot diameter as you came in. It's going to be a magnifying glass with a big handle off the side of it. And we need someone to create a 4-foot wide eyeball, eye, to stick on the magnifying glass so it looks like someone's looking through a magnifying glass. Whether you can make that out on a banner or whatever, print it off on your printer, whatever. That's just something. And Luann being sick, that hasn't been done yet. So that's one of the options. So we're going to put that. We need to figure out how to put the handle on there. I think I've got an idea, but I don't know for sure. Behind the magnifying glass is going to be a desk with a microscope on it. And I get to sit there. I can't walk the parade route, so I get to sit on the float there. And that'll give me a chance to hand the bags of candy and flyers out to the walkers that are going to be handing those out. Behind that, we have an A-frame chalkboard, 8-foot long, 4-foot high chalkboard part, 7-foot tall total, and the banners go on that. But we need somebody to make the A-frame. I got all the parts for it out here, I think. And we need someone to paint the boards so that they look like chalkboards. We've got chalkboard paint to do that with also. So the projects that are available are for people to make that A-frame for the chalkboards. I'd like somebody to take the toy microscope and see if they can't make it look like a more real microscope. I've got a couple ideas on how that could be done, but if someone's creative that way. Painting the chalkboards, putting the magnifying glass handle on, the flag stands, and then we have two big banners. One's on the bulletin board out this way by the nursery, and the one's over here by the bathroom, and we need someone to put the big stickers on it, to stick the letters and numbers on that'll be July 21st through 25th, grades, etc., and that information on that. On the back of the float, as you're looking at the back of the A-frame so that people on both sides can see it, we're going to put that 6-foot globe on the back of it and just put the letters ISA for International Spy Academy across that. And so that's all stuff that's available, or we can try and cram it in on Thursday. If you're interested in doing that before Thursday, I would greatly appreciate you contacting me and letting me know which of the 6 or 7 projects you're interested in, or if you just want to show up Thursday and help put up the banners and streamers and the chalkboards. We also have a use or need, whatever is the right term, for about 10 more people to walk along the parade route and hand out the flyers. We've taken the flyers and put candy to them. You're not allowed by state law here in Michigan, although most people do it, not allowed to toss candy or anything from the float. You can have someone walk along the side and hand it out. So we have the flyers about the Vacation Bible School with invitations that are part of it to hand out, and it's already got the candy attached to it, so we'd like people to walk along and hand them out. The parade is 1.6 miles in length. The weather is supposed to be fine. For those who are walking in the parade, you don't have to have a costume. You will want comfortable shoes. We have these ISA hats that if you look at it one way, it says Truth Force. And you move it a little bit, it says International Spy Academy. We have our church shirts if you wish. We have, or you can provide your own dark sunglasses to go with it. And we also have some lab coats or trench coats that fit different sized people that for walking or riding in the parade. Andrea Gates decided she didn't want to walk in the parade this year for some reason. I'm teasing Andrea. She's going to ride with her husband in the van as they drive. But just anybody else that wants to, we have some place for a few riders on the float, and we have lots of room for walkers along with the float. We have permission for up to 15 people for walking, and if we have more than that, we can just work around that as necessary. So I took a bit of time here. I hope I didn't take too much, but now you know what all this mess around here is that's messed up all the nice decorations that people have and decor. But all the different projects around have a little label with them that if it piques your interest and your abilities, talk to me. My cell phone's available. I'm here at church every day this week, and the parade is Friday this week. So we're putting the float together Thursday. Thank you.
Shall we pray together? Father, again, we thank you that, yes, we, if we will but depend on your grace that we can trust. Father, we thank you for that those promises, and we thank you for that position that you give through the blood of Christ. We thank you now for the opportunity to worship and continuing today and song and also in our giving. We pray that these offerings and tithes will be used perfectly according to your will to spread the gospel here and around the world. We'll thank you for all your presence here with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
As everybody's settling down, would you go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes again so we can ask the Lord to really teach us this morning. Father, as we open your word and we read this, these amazing things that you've preserved miraculously, and they're your words inspired, And Lord, we know they have meaning, we know they have power, and Lord, that's what we're trying to understand this morning. As we study this, we want to see that meaning and that power. We want to learn and grow. So Father, may that happen this morning. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you this morning have commented that I look a little bit tired. We had a wedding last night. One of my wife's friends was married, and it's somebody that my wife has been trying to invite to church and share the gospel with and different things like that. And the food at the reception was great. And then after supper, I ate 2 pieces of cake. Can you believe that? 2 pieces of cake. Pastor Don, you're already jealous. I got to eat 2 pieces. He's only allowed 1/4 of 1 slice, okay? But I had 2 pieces of cake, and about 10 o'clock, these waitresses or whatever they are, servers, they came out with these trays of slices of pizza. It was like a later night snack at the wedding reception. So I ate 2 slices of pizza. 2 pieces of cake, 2 pieces of pizza. I just want you folks to know that I partied. Okay? And we had fun last night, and we got to sit by some people and talk with them, and they're from the Linden area. We were able to invite them to church, and that was a good time. And I reached over right before I was leaving, and I picked up what I thought was my wife's water, and I took 1 sip and immediately knew it wasn't water. And I put that down, and so we wanted to stay away from that, but... As we start the sermon this morning, a lot of you know that I'm a I'm a big sports fan. I like to watch sports, and over the years, I've watched NASCAR racing. I've been to Michigan International Speedway for a couple of the different races over the years. I've been to Pistons games. I've been to a Lions game, a few Tigers games, and I've been to Michigan Wolverines football games. I've been to one Spartans football game, and sports are something that I enjoy watching. They're something I enjoy playing. Although I don't get to do either as much since I've been married and we have three children running around, but I still enjoy it whenever I get the chance, and if I lay off the cake a little bit, maybe I'll still be able to find my shot, but I enjoy playing and I enjoy watching the Tigers, especially when they win. And but to be honest with you, when I was in high school, I spent a lot of time on the bench. I wasn't that good at sports, really. I didn't know what I was doing. And one of the biggest letdown moments of my entire years at school was my senior year, my final basketball game. It was the playoffs, and I never got into the game. I sat on the bench the whole time, and I watched from the sidelines, and it was miserable, and I'll be really transparent with you. I almost cried in the locker room after the game. I was truly hurt, and it really stinks just having to sit there on the sidelines. And what made it stink even worse was we lost the game, and I was sitting there on the sidelines, and I could do nothing to contribute. There was nothing I could do to help, and it was really bad. It really was really bad. Let me ask you folks a question. How many would agree that God is doing some great things in this world? You can raise your hand for that, okay? Just so I know you're alive, okay? We all agree just about unanimously that God is doing some great things into this world. Years ago, Jesus, he came to this earth and he lived a perfect life. He died a perfect death. And then after that, he came back to life. And then he started something. What he did was he laid the foundation for a future kingdom, and he's commanded us to be a part of it and to contribute to it, and it majorly stinks if you're sitting on the sidelines doing nothing to help. Do you get where I'm going with this today? Are you making these connections? Today's sermon is about how to be a part of what God is doing, getting into the game and off the sidelines. So if you have a Bible, turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then you'll find the book of Acts. And if we really wanted to be, and John, I'm sorry, John was sandwiched in there between there too. See, I was up really late last night, forgot about the book of John. But the book of Acts is sort of Luke part 2. It's Luke wrote both books, and it's a continuation of what was going on. And the book of Acts is the history of the early church, and it records all of the major players who were carrying out God's plan in the days after Jesus ascended to heaven. And let's read about this moment, the moment when Jesus ascended to heaven. One pastor noted that this was the final huddle, the final pep talk before Jesus went to heaven. And we have the opportunity to listen in to see what happened. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 7. And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, when he had said these things, spoken these things, while they were standing there watching him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus here is saying, wherever you go, the Holy Spirit of God will be there with you. You're going to start off locally ministering to people in your town and in your community and across the street to your neighbors. And then you're going to move beyond your local area around you. And then you're going to move out regionally to your county and to your state. And eventually you're going to expand to a nationwide ministry. And finally, you're going to go worldwide. It's going to be a global movement, and each step along the way, wherever you go, the Spirit of God will be empowering you to be effective witnesses. Jesus says, I will give you this power, the Spirit, for the purpose of witnessing. And then the plan is for you to go all over the earth, starting in your neighborhood. That's a pretty amazing speech, isn't it? An incredible final huddle. And then suddenly, as he's talking, he just starts ascending into heaven. I mean, and that was that. The discussion was over, the talk was through, and he began floating up into the air, and that was that. But the disciples are probably just like you and I. They're standing there listening, and then all of a sudden, boom, Jesus is gone. We'd be like wondering, what in the world just happened? We'd be gazing up into the sky. Is he gone? They're obviously very confused, wondering what's going on. Verse 10 explains, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. I just love this. It's one of the classic scenes in the scriptures. The disciples are standing there watching the sky. Like maybe think back to maybe sometime you got a balloon for one of your children and they're walking out to the car and somehow inevitably that balloon does not make it back into the house or into the car. It gets let go of and initially there's some tears, we've lost this balloon, but then after a while, they're just gazing up into the sky as this balloon's floating away, and I still see it, Dad. See that speck way over there? And they keep an eye on this, and this is sort of what I picture here with this scene in the disciples, except this wasn't a balloon, obviously. This was Jesus. Is he still up there? You know, I think I see him. He's sort of behind that cloud, you know, that speck way over there. I don't know. Do you think he'll be coming back? Think he'll be coming back anytime soon? Maybe we should have tied a rope around him or something. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what they were saying. I'm not sure what they were doing. But the Bible says two angels miraculously show up and they say, hey, guys, just to clear things up, Jesus is gone. Now, eventually, he'll come back in the very same way that he left. But there's a little bit more meaning there, a little bit deeper. The angels are trying to get across these men, hey, listen, Jesus is coming back, and you potentially don't have much time before he shows up again. So you got to go get to work. You got to go get doing what he asked you to do. You have to go be witnesses. That's what he asked you to do and be. If we took time to read the next few verses, and I don't think we have time to this morning, but read them this afternoon. In fact, that's your homework assignment. Read the rest of Acts chapter 1 and read Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. They went back to their favorite place to hang out. The upper room. And they were hanging out there, and they are still horribly confused as to what has happened. But they decided they needed a disciple to take the place of Judas who had betrayed Jesus, and they chose a man, and that was it, and they're still just hanging out in this place. And during that time, you will read in your reading this afternoon that there was a huge festival going on in Jerusalem. People from all over the world were gathering there in the city. This huge crowd was in town, and this small group is huddled up in this upper room when suddenly something happens. Acts chapter 2 at the beginning says there was a gust of wind that blew through the house, and there was this flame of fire that was on their heads. And immediately they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Exactly the way Jesus said, predicted, that they would have this power from the Holy Spirit. And this must have been an incredible experience. It was like nothing that had ever happened before. And in verse 14 in chapter 2, it says that Peter got out of his seat. He left this upper room and he walked out into the midst of this huge crowd in the city, and he started preaching. And this is the sermon I want you to read. It's Acts 2, 14 through verse 40. But I want you to look at verse 41. This is Peter's closing statement, sort of his invitation. He says, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And then verse 41 says, "Then those who gladly received this word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them." Now, are you seeing what's happening here in the Bible here? When Peter got off the sidelines and into the game, 3,000 people were saved, baptized, and joined the church all in one day because of one sermon. What we see in the Bible is God's Spirit coming down and indwelling and empowering people to share the story of Jesus. And then when they do that, thousands of people were saved. And that's not all, really. We could read the rest of the book of Acts, and it's full of stories very similar to this. The church grew from this small, cramped, little upper room with a few people to tens of thousands of people. Almost every day, people were saved and turning to Jesus. And just like Jesus said in Acts 1:8, it's because they were given power. It was the Holy Spirit. You see, folks, this morning, if you sort of are distracted by something, you've basically heard nothing I've said up to this point, I need you to get this right here, okay? The Spirit of God was given to us for a reason. To witness. Okay, that was it. Just a side note, this one's a freebie. These disciples and us in the same token, we were not given the Holy Spirit of God so that we could go out and do a bunch of wacky stuff. Okay, you go to some churches, you know what I'm talking about? They start zapping people, boom, you know, or they get out their coat and they swing it around and the whole crowd like falls back and they're slaying them in the spirit and stuff. And you go to some other churches and they start handling snakes and, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to protect me from the snake biting me and all this stuff. And people do a lot of odd things and they say, well, it's because I have the Holy Spirit, so, you know, I can do these things. No, the reason we were given the Spirit was so that we could be empowered to talk about Jesus. You know, that's it. Obviously, the Spirit does some other things like comforting us and things like that. But Jesus says right here, you will be given a power so you can be my witnesses. You know, if we get out some of these Christian books and authors, and there's a lot of really great ones out there, but you may run across something like this, that the Spirit was given to us so that we could be a better person. That sounds kind of neat, okay? The Spirit is given to us so that we can be a better person. The Spirit was given to us so that we could reach our full potential. I don't think either one of those are really totally accurate. We were given the Spirit to complete a mission. How many here have goals in life? A few of you? Okay, a few of you are still awake. Some of us have young children, and our goals are like, I want my child to be potty trained by the time they're three. I want them brushing their teeth by themselves by the time they're five, and I want them helping with the dishes by the time they're seven. And maybe you have a goal, I just don't want to be in the emergency room this week. And some of you folks have older children, and maybe you remember those days that I'm talking about, and your child has like snot and dirt and crud and grime everywhere. The other day I was brushing my teeth, and I got done brushing my teeth, and I went downstairs, and Andrea says, "You have toothbrush all over your wrist." I'm like, "Or toothpaste." So I'm wiping that off. I'm like, "Where is that coming from? I wash my hands. I'm not sloppy when I brush my teeth." And then I look down, it's smeared all over my pants. Like, what in the world is this from? And, you know, the vanity in the bathroom, there's typically a little lip. I went upstairs, there was toothpaste smeared underneath that little lip. Like, what were my children doing? Were they brushing that? I don't know. And there was all this stuff all over the place. Dirt and grime is everywhere at my house. And we set up these goals. I'm going to teach my children how to clean up. Then there's some of us that we're super holy, and we try to make spiritual goals. Well, I want Jesus to grow my business. Well, I want Jesus to make me healthy. I want Jesus to fix my family. And I'm not here to say that these are bad goals. These are good goals. But we need to be careful not to confuse our goals with Jesus' goals. We read a verse last week that he said he came for one reason and one reason only, to seek and save that which was lost. That's his goal. That's his mission. And it should be our goal, our mission. Should be our church's mission. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. You may have personal goals, but you need to be careful not to make your personal goals Jesus' mission. He only had one mission. And it wasn't to make your life amazing. His mission was to reach the lost. And if we have time to read the entire book of Acts, we would see that everyone was unified around that mission, reaching the lost. Chapter 7 and 8, and like I say, you don't have to read that this afternoon because you're already reading chapter 1 and 2, but maybe tomorrow, read chapter 7 and 8. This is when the persecution of the church started. One of the leaders of the church, I believe if I recall correctly, he was a deacon. His name was Stephen, and he was out talking to some people, and they started stoning him. He was murdered right in the middle of the street. Persecution started to get really, really bad in Jerusalem, and people had to scatter. People had to pack their bags and bug out. And what do you think they did as they spread out all over the place? They kept at Jesus' mission. They preached the gospel. Then if you, maybe Tuesday, you can read chapter 13. There was this church in Antioch, and there was two men there that really felt the Spirit leading them to go be missionaries. And that church ordained and sent out two missionaries. And if you track those two men's travels, they went all over the known world. They crisscrossed the map. And you know what was happening? Exactly what Jesus said would happen. Before he ascended, he said, you will be my witnesses all over the world. And that's exactly what happened. That's all the book of Acts is. It's a record of people who got off the sidelines and got into the game. They weren't fake Christians who acted one way at church and then another way everywhere else. These weren't plastic people. They were genuine followers of Jesus Christ who were determined to carry out his mission. Our sermon series, and maybe you saw it on the slide and it's in the bulletin, it's an I Love My Church series. You see, when a church is full of people who are really in love with Jesus and who are in the game and off the sidelines, that makes a church exciting. It makes a church a place that people can love and a place that people want to be. When we are actively living out what Jesus said to be his witnesses and we're in the game, people love it. Now look at Acts 1:8 just to, one more time there for a second. The great thing about Jesus, and I just want to mention this in passing, the great thing about Jesus is that he wasn't racist or prejudiced. And in our Sunday school class this morning, we saw that firsthand illustrated when he went to the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus, it didn't bother him if people were a little bit culturally different. He went to all people. And he just told his disciples to go all over the place and tell people about him. He wants all people to know the power of the cross and forgiveness. He wants all people to be saved. And he wants you to tell them how. And that's what I'm inviting you to do this morning. To be part of this thing that Jesus started. I'm not sure what occupies the majority of your thoughts. I'm not sure what you spend the bulk of your time doing. But if you are by and large ignoring the mission of Jesus, we're going to say that you're on the sidelines, that you're not into the game. It's as simple as that. If you are actively involved in ministry and telling people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you are in the game. Right where God wants you to be. So my question is to you, where are you this morning? Are you on the sideline or are you in the game? And if you're on the sideline, what are you going to do to get into the game? We have about 5 minutes left, and I have a few ideas. A pastor with some ideas on how to get people involved in ministry? That's weird, isn't it? I have a few ideas. Here in our church, we have a food pantry. Maybe some of you didn't even know we had it. It's down the steps over there and around the corner. It's not a really big room, but there is some non-perishable food in there and some other personal items like shampoo and toothpaste and things like that. I'd encourage you, if you have never seen it or looked at it before, that immediately following the church, you go down there, look at it, see what it's all about. We have folks that call up the church sometimes on a weekly basis, and they're allowed to go in there and take items that they can use. And we've had up to two or three families in a week come in and take a couple bags of stuff. Maybe you could get into the game that way. Looking what we need, maybe helping out with the food pantry. We have them sign their names. Maybe we can start having them put a way to contact them, and then maybe you want to go visit them and share the gospel with them more. I sort of interact with them, or Pastor Don or somebody sort of interacts with them, and we invite them to church and stuff like that, and maybe ask them how we can pray for them, but maybe that's something that you'd like to do to get off the sidelines and into the game. I got another idea. Maybe as you pulled in the parking lot, you saw we have a big bus and we have a van. And we use those vehicles to pick up students on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. On Wednesday nights, we've had as many as 40 students on the big bus, elementary, junior high, and high school. And on Sunday mornings, we've had maybe a dozen come. It's a little bit different every week, but maybe you could get into the game that way. We're always looking for helpers and riders to ride on the bus or van, or maybe you want to go out and get your commercial driver's license so that you can drive the bus. And then as you're on those vehicles and talking with students and you love them and you show interest in their lives, and guess what? They're going to want to come to church because you're loving them the way Jesus loves them. Maybe you need to expand your horizons a little bit beyond Fenton. We have a missions committee or a missions team or whatever you want to call it. It's a few people, and they talk to our missionaries, and they read the missionary newsletters. And when missionaries are coming in, they help set up meals so they can get the missionaries in people's homes and things like that. And we have a number of missionaries that our church supports. They're all over the United States. They're all over the world. Maybe you want to get involved with that missions committee and help the church get a better understanding of what is going on all over the world. Maybe you need to start off a little bit more basic than any of those things to get into the game and off the sidelines. Maybe you need to just simply talk to your brother-in-law about Jesus or some other family member. But you're a little nervous because you're not quite sure what to say. Mark, this good friend of mine, he's right up front. Wave your hand, Mark. I didn't tell him I was going to pick him out this morning, but he teaches this really neat class. It's called Balanced Evangelism, where you go through the doctrines of salvation in the Bible very thoroughly, and he does it a couple times a year, and he teaches you really how to witness and how to share the gospel with your family, friends, and your coworkers and your neighbors and whoever. And when you get this thorough understanding of the doctrine of salvation and sin, then you're not quite as scared anymore. Well, you know, somebody might ask me some type of question that I don't know the answer to. Go to Mark's class. There's all kinds of ways to get into the game, so it's up to you to make that decision and do something. In fact, I really don't care what you're doing, as long as you're doing something to get into the game and off the sidelines. But more importantly, it's Jesus that wants you to get into the game and off the sidelines. In this verse, Acts 1:8, and if you look at what's called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, and even the Bible verse on the front of your bulletin, I don't know if you noticed that one. Jesus has called us to go, not wait for them to come to us. Jesus says, go make disciples all over the world. He doesn't say, hey, wait for people to come to you, and then when they come to you, then make disciples. Doesn't work that way. So folks, just because Jesus' work on the cross is complete and the wrath of God has been satisfied, that doesn't mean that we can sit around like our job is over. The work of bringing people to salvation is not done. And that's our job. Obviously, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are involved as well. But our job is to tell people. And that responsibility was first given to the 12 apostles who are standing there around Jesus, staring into the sky. But now the ball is in our court. We are the witnesses now. And we need to be witnesses all over the world. which admittedly it's a huge job. But thankfully, we have the Spirit inside of us. So we have everything we need to be effective. All we have to do is get into the game. Now, if you played high school sports, a lot of you did. A lot of you played sports after high school, church softball and ping pong tournaments and all kinds of different things. There are times when you can maybe, when you're by yourself, you can think back in your mind and you can relive those great moments from those sports games. And if you're like me, maybe you wish you could go back and do things differently and be the hero that won the game. You know, we can sit there and dream about those moments that everyone else except you has forgotten. Or you can be part of something that has real significance in eternity. Jesus' mission of reaching the lost. Now you can do your own thing and have a decent life, or you can be part of moments that will be cheered in heaven and noticed by the Creator. Which would you rather do? Be on the sidelines or be part of the game? Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful that before you ascended into heaven and before you even came to this earth, you had this system and plan and structure all set up. We're thankful that once you left, you sent the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that you used men to record the scriptures, and we're thankful that the scriptures have power behind them. And Lord, we know we have the Spirit inside of us. We know we have the truth of the Word of God there to help us, this living Word. And Lord, all we got to do is sort of complete that triangle and actually talk to people. Actually get into the game. Lord, we know that when we make that step and complete this structure and plan that you have planned out, that we can be a church that people just love. People look forward to being here. So Lord God, work in hearts, work in lives. Motivate, prompt, prod. Well, do whatever you have to do to move us to where we need to be in the game. Doing your mission. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd love to see you back tonight and hear Pastor Eric's his idea on how to get into the game and plan a church. And that's at 6 o'clock. And right at 6 o'clock, for about 5 minutes or so, there's going to be a very brief business meeting where we're having a vote on the carpet down in the daycare area. So if you could, if you're a member, make sure you're here right at 6 so we can get that business meeting done. And then we'll probably sing a couple songs and then give the rest of the night to Eric. But I really want you to read those chapters in Acts. And I really want you to pray, earnest prayer, not just, God, help me to figure out how to be in the game. Don't do that. Really pray for real that God would show you how you need to be getting off the sidelines and into the game, completing his mission. Thank you for coming. We'll see you later.